We've been looking at food security in the last few weeks, and we've looked at some of the things that can be put into place to improve food security, such as land colonization and commercialization. Now we're going to look at land reform. That is, we're going to look at how changing the ownership of land can help ensure a constant and reliable supply of food. And, as a case study, we're going to look into what happened in Armenia in the early 1990s. Some background first. 72% of the land area in Armenia is dedicated to agriculture. That amounts to 2.1 million hectares. A great deal of it, however, is in the mountains and can't be cultivated for crops, so it's just used for pasture. That leaves only 480,000 hectares, less than a quarter, that can be used as arable land, orchards, or vineyards. When Armenia was under Soviet rule, it was recognized that Armenia wasn't an ideal farming country. Armenia became a sort of industrial specialist. It was one of the most industrialized republics in the USSR, and agriculture accounted for less than 17% of Armenia's economic output. What agriculture existed was devoted to specialty crops, like tree fruit, which was canned, and grapes, which were used to make cognac. Most other food was imported. 80% of wheat, for example, came from elsewhere. And then the Soviet Union collapsed in 1991, and that left Armenia in serious trouble. The country no longer had access to the supplies of seed, herbicides, insecticides, fuel, and machinery, which had always come from the Soviet government. The country's only fertilizer plant had been out of action since 1988, when a severe earthquake hit the country. The fruit canning factories and cognac distillery all shut down. The country's economic output fell to one-fifth of its former level, meaning it was less able to import food. To add insult to injury, a severe drought hit the farms, and grain harvest plummeted. In 1992, the grain harvest was just 192,000 metric tons compared to 1988's record harvest, which was almost double that. Basically, the country hit rock bottom. In many prosperous farming villages, even bread was hard to come by. The republic had to rely on food aid in order to avert famine. But a country can't rely on humanitarian aid forever. It is only meant to be a stopgap measure. The country had to do something in order to become self-sufficient, or at least more self-reliant, with regards to food. So, what did it do? Well, the only solution was to privatize the land, which had previously all been state-owned. Beginning in 1991, Armenia's 600 huge collective farms were dismantled, and the land was divided up among the people. Nearly 282,000 private farms were created, and state and collective farms became almost entirely obsolete. And this was all done extremely quickly. Only certain people were eligible to receive land. These were the people already living in villages, not those who had previously been moved off the land to live and work in cities. The amount of land granted to a family depended on the size of the family and the amount of land available in that village. Each type of land, pasture arable, and so on, was dealt with separately, which meant that families received small pockets of different types of land, which was not ideal by any means. The location of each piece of land that each family received was determined by lottery. The families had to pay for the land, but it was more of a symbolic token than a profit-driven exercise, so rates were low. It wasn't all plain sailing, of course. Since it happened so rapidly, the change was disorganized, and there were disputes, especially with regards to water rights and equipment. These were pockets of land. They really were pockets. The average lot was about 3 acres in size, and we know from our commercialization lecture the other week how large-scale agriculture is far more efficient than small-scale, because it allows you to invest in better machinery, and other inputs, fertilizers, and so on, become cheaper when you buy in bulk. But all this was irrelevant to Armenians. Machinery, fertilizer, quality-treated seed, none of this was available. Some farm equipment had been turned over to the individual farmers, but spare parts were scarce and expensive. And besides, people could barely afford the fuel. Basically, they were farming at a subsistent level, producing enough to feed themselves and hopefully some leftover for sale. Those orchards, those vineyards, they were all uprooted. There was no need for them. The land was turned over to stable crops, wheat and potatoes. The best farmers could do was try to get by. Despite these significant problems, agriculture output increased year on year since privatization was put into place, and in 2006, the output was 75% higher than it was in 1990. But remember, in 1990, production was particularly low, and even 2006's great yield was not as high as 1988's. But gradually over the years, the redistribution of Armenia's land holdings had begun to settle down. Things that have helped have been the law which allowed farmers to buy, sell, and lease land, thus making it more justifiable for farmers to invest in machinery or gamble on new technologies. However, Armenians still don't have access to credit, which means that they have to pay for all their investments up front in cash. They also don't have many options when it comes to selling. There aren't farmer cooperatives, wholesalers, and marketing specialists like there are in the States. These things have yet to develop, and it takes time for enterprises like private fertilizer and seed firms to become established. But things are looking up, and the fact that the Armenian land privatization scheme took off and took effect so much quicker than the other ex-Soviet countries can only be considered a success.